Chapter 21 Final Unity. Many will claim to lead our legion in the years after I am gone. Many will claim that they, and they alone, are my appointed successor. I hate this legion, Talos. I destroyed its world to stem the flow of poison. I will be vindicated soon. And the truest lesson of the Night Lords will be taught. Do you truly believe I care what happens to any of you after my death? The Primarch Conrad Kurz, addressing Apothecary Talos of First Claw, 10th Company. Septimus wrenched the control sticks hard, begging for altitude. Crowded around him were Astartes from 11th Company, each one a stranger to him, each one now discovering the unwelcome fact that a blessed Legion relic was being piloted by a mortal serf. He expected at any moment one of them would demand the controls from him. This didn't happen. He doubted it was because they were too exhausted. In his experience, Astartes didn't tire as humans did, but they were certainly worse for wear. Their dark skulled plate was as shattered and bloody as First Claw's had been. Turbulence buffeted Blackened with an angry fist, and a sickening lurch in his gut betrayed the loss of altitude even before his console instruments did. The serf threw levers and wrenched the sticks again. Blackened climbed. Behind them, a transporter exploded in midair. Its shell and the hulks of two rhinos it was carrying crashed to the ground in flames. Dozens of mortal soldiers died beneath it. "The Black Legion," one of the Astartes said in a low, dangerous voice. "They will bleed and scream for this, each and every one of them." The promise met with general assent. Septimus swallowed. He couldn't have cared less about vengeance in that moment. He just wanted the damn gunship to climb, climb, climb. He had to break into orbit. He had to reach the Covenant. And that's when he saw it. "Throne of the God Emperor," he whispered for the first time since his capture. The Covenant of Blood was on fire. It streaked across the sky like a burning meteorite, trailing flame and smoke in a thin plume. The heavens rang with thunder as it pounded through the sound barrier, not speeding up, but slowing down. "This is the Exalted," the vox crackled live. "Brothers of Seventh Company, we have come for you." The vox was alive with reports from the other claws. The Blood Angels, even with their numbers fewer than 30, were spread throughout the ship and putting up ferocious resistance to the hunt that sought their lives. Talos coughed blood. The bolts that had struck his chest plate and helm left his armor a broken ruin. Although his nerves were deadened to the worst of the pain by combat narcotics pulsing through his veins, he knew spitting blood onto the decking was a bad sign. His gene-enhanced healing was failing to heal, whatever the hell was wrong with him. He'd seen Adamar die. It was over in a moment. A blur of motion as the former sergeant rushed the dreadnought with his blade held high. The war machine had turned with unbelievable speed, whirring around on its waste axis, breathing invisible but searing heat from its multi-melter. Adamar's armor baked and split within a heartbeat. The joints melted, the empty warplate clattering to melt into sludge on the decking. Nothing biological remained. Over in a moment. All to save Mercutian and Uzas, who were wounded on the other side of the chamber. Talos had added his boltifier to cover them and taken hits from the Blood Angels for his trouble. Were the Blood Angels suicidal? To fire a melter weapon within a ship? It was a miracle the hull wasn't liquefied yet, and every one of them torn out into the rushing air. Talos gripped Aurum, feeling his strength waxing again. Good. Not lethal, perhaps. Something was wrong, but it could be dealt with later. The Blood Angels had to be slaughtered, skinned and crucified, for their accursed presence on the Covenant. At first, he'd thought the deck shaking was merely more of the atmospheric turbulence. Shells still exploded around his fragile cover, and only when Malkarian strode past, his armored bulk barely fitting within the linking corridors, did Talos realize what was happening. The dreadnought stalked into the chamber, ignoring the small arms fire from the Blood Angels. Revitalized by the War Sage's presence, First Claw's survivors doubled their fire. Astartes, armored in red, died. Mercutian and Sirion went down as well, struck by bolts. Talos felt his newly recovered strength desert him. Back to the wall, he slid down to the decking, clutching his shattered breastplate. The dreadnoughts regarded each other in a moment of almost hilarious calm. "Kill it!" Talos screamed. "Kill it now!"
"I already have once," Malkarian boomed.
The Blood Angel's dreadnought made the same gear-shifting grind of a sound Talos had heard from Malkarian. The Night Lord's eyes fell upon the sarcophagus mounted within the War Sage's new body. There stood the image of Malkarian in life, clutching the three helms. One of these belonged to the Blood Angel champion, Raguel the Sufferer.
"Even in death," the Blood Angel growled, "I will avenge myself." "You deserve the chance, Raguel."
With power fists crackling, the two war machines did what they were resurrected to do. The fight played out in two worlds. And until his dying night, Talos was never sure which battle he truly witnessed. In the immediate, painful, shaking world of the shallowest senses, the two armored behemoths tore at each other with rotating claws and bludgeoning fists. Ceramite ripped in those mauling hands, and shards of armor flew from the combatants like hail on some blizzard-touched death world. Neither of the suspended corpses saw this, and neither felt it. The walls were gold where these warriors dueled. Both men wore the proud armor of their legion, and both men fought for Terra, one to defend it and die for the Imperium, one to conquer it and kill for the same reason. Their blades spun and struck until both were broken. Then it came down to gauntleted fists and the strength to strangle. Talos watched the dreadnoughts tearing each other to scrap and saw exactly what the dead men saw. Blackened roared through the air, engines screaming as the racing Thunderhawk drew alongside the Covenant. The others had already docked, bringing their precious cargo on board the strike cruiser as it tore across the sky. Blackened was the last. Warning runes flashed across console displays as Septimus pushed the engines past all safe limits. The control sticks jutted in his fists, shaking almost in sync with the wailing sirens that screamed at him to cease what he was doing. The dark dart of the Thunderhawk banked closer to the racing shape of the Covenant. The turbulence intensified, with Blackened on the edge of entering its mothership's slipstream. It was starting to climb. He could see it himself, even without the Astartes in the cockpit, warriors he didn't know, pointing it out in curses and complaints. These he did his best to ignore, along with the warning runes blinking migraine red everywhere. But the Covenant was definitely climbing now, and even slowly, it made a near-impossible landing almost inconceivable. Its prow came up, cutting the polluted sky, in the beginning incline for orbital re-entry.
"Just a little more," he mouthed the plea, wrenching the three thrust levers into the blank sockets past the red zones marked on the helm consoles. Blackened kicked, howling louder, and burst forward in pursuit of its carrier. The thought occurred as he climbed alongside the strike cruiser, banking ever closer to the open hangar bay, that there was a very good chance one or all of the Thunderhawk's engines would explode under this punishment. Septimus pulled back, climbing parallel to the larger ship, boosting ahead of the open bay doors, ready to fall back and weave inside. The gunship veered gently, shaking hard, within 30 meters of the hangar bay. They were going too fast to deploy the landing gear. The claws would be torn off the moment they cleared the hull. Septimus would need to lower them late, as soon as Blackened came into the bay, and pray they were down enough to take the ship's weight.
Now or never,
he whispered, and banked hard right at more than full thrust. The Thunderhawk wrenched to the side, rolling directly at the hangar bay. The next 10 seconds lasted an age to Septimus, an eternity of insane shaking and the loudest noises he had ever heard. The port booster exploded as the Thunderhawk veered home, amplifying the turbulence tenfold. Septimus had been ready for one or more of the engines to go and compensated immediately. Blackened would have fallen short of its target, either smashing headlong into the side of the Covenant, or glancing from the larger ship and then falling from the sky after sustaining severe damage in the impact. Septimus compensated by overloading the remaining boosters, destroying them all in one momentary burst of thrust that threw the gunship at the open bay. He risked it so close to the target and deployed the landing gear. The hideous sound of wrenching metal told the fate of the front landing leg the others held. Darkness blanketed over the view windows as they hurtled at the Covenant. Septimus had a split second to realize they were on course, but not perfectly, because they were in the bay itself with a blur of motion. Another almighty crash shook the Thunderhawk as the gunship's tail cleaved into the edge of the bay doors. Blackened bucked and lurched, twisted off its already chaotic course, and slammed into the floor with savage force. The rear landing claws carved into the decking as the gunship's nose hammered down and plowed a squealing, sparking furrow through the deck floor. After several dozen meters of skidding, the rear landing gear gave way, torn from their sockets, and thudding the gunship's winged rear end to the decking with a thunderous crash. With its engines dead and thrusters burned out, the only thing that brought the howling gunship to a final halt was its collision with the side wall of the hangar bay. Septimus was jolted forward with this last indignity, but his restraint belts remained strong, keeping him in his throne. Motionless at last, his heart pounding, Septimus let out the deepest breath he'd ever held.
We're down,
he said, unsurprised at the tremor in his voice. The Astartes squad unbuckled from their own thrones and left the cockpit without a word. Even as the ruined engines continued the short process of terminally cycling down in an orchestra of mechanical whines, the Astartes on board were disembarking, summoned by the exalted in defense of the Covenant. Throne-loyal Astartes were apparently on board. Septimus was almost too tired to care as he stood slowly, trying to keep his balance on unsteady legs. His neck ached, his back ached, his hands ached. Everything ached. A pilot all his life had not even believed such a docking was survivable. The Astartes left without a word of acknowledgement. He was too tired to care. Well, almost. Stumbling down the gang ramp, he blinked blurry stress exhaustion from his eyes. Blackened creaked and hissed behind him as its strained hull settled into inactivity once more. The gunship's tail was gone, torn off in the crash with the hull. The landing gear was a mangled memory. All across the Thunderhawk's proud hunter's form, damage showed in stark black burns and dark twisted metal.
I am never doing that again, he said.
Servitors approached, their simple programming taking several moments to calculate how to deal with the wreckage of what lay before them. Several looked at him curiously, wondering if he'd spoken a command.
Get back to work, Septimus said.
He reached up to activate his vox bead.
Octavia?
Her voice was weak, wet with tears.
You have to help me, she said softly. Where are you?
She told him, and Septimus broke into a pained run. On the Strategium, the Exalted watched the mountain ranges below falling away. Its ship climbed, tearing into the sky like a spear. The bridge crew cheered. The sound shook the Exalted, having never heard it before. Within seconds, the blue palette of the Oculus was replaced by black, the black of the void. Blessedly, the Covenant ended its tormented shaking,
artificial gravity resumed, and limbs became less heavy.
Punch a hole through between these two ships, the Exalted ordered.
It was already sat back in its throne, studying the reactivated hololithic display. Keen senses raced to unravel the mysteries, the flight paths, the destructions and deaths since he had last seen this image. The shaking began again, and this time damage reports flooded in.
I do not care what damage is sustained.
The ship jolted hard under another volley of lance strikes.
Just get us into the warp.
Arrow straight and lethally fast, the Covenant ripped from Krythe Prime's orbit, racing through the battling fleets.
Navigator Atrigius, the Exalted said, answer me.
He's dead, said a female voice.
First Claw came to the downed machines. The healthiest of the Astartes were limping. Uzas and Mercutian dragged themselves by their hands. The Blood Angel Dreadnought still twitched as it lay on its back. Its claw opened and closed, grinding nothing but air. Talos nodded to the sarcophagus, too pained to point.
Cut that open.
Zarl and Sirion went to work with their chainswords, carving through the coffin's surface, the tearing teeth offering no respect for the funerary declarations and acid-etched glories depicted in Balian glyphs. With grunts of effort, the two warriors hauled the sarcophagus's lid away, revealing the pilot within. Their blades had ruptured the inner coffin. Clear amniotic fluid, blood pinked in patches, seeped from the pierced box in sloshing trickles. Talos stepped on the downed dreadnought's hull, looking down at the limbless, augmented wreck of a human being.
I am Talos of the Night Lords. Nod if you understand me.
The slain hero nodded, skin tightening in doubtlessly painful spasms as his life support and defeats failed. Talos smiled at the sight.
Know this, Blood Angel. Your final mission was a failure. Your brothers are dead. We will wear their armor in battle against your false emperor. And know this also, champion of the Ninth Legion. Twice now, the sons of the Night Haunter have seen you slain. Greet the afterlife within the warp, knowing you are too weak to triumph over us, even once.
Talos locked eyes with the spasming remnant in its fluid-filled coffin. In a sure grip despite the weakness of his arm, Talos raised Aurum, the blade of another fallen angel.
Your bones will be made into trophies for our armor. We will feast upon your gene seed, and whatever remains of this glorious walking tomb will be salvaged by our tech priest to house a champion of our own legion.
He plunged the blade down. Its golden length stabbed through the casket, impaling the mutilated Imperial hero's open mouth.
Die, Talos finished, with the taste of your chapter's eternal failure on your tongue.
Octavia wiped the blood from Atrigius's face. The navigator's eerie features seemed somehow childish in death, peaceful and innocent. She could almost believe he hadn't seen a lifetime of sights and secrets few mortals should be cursed to witness. One of his rings had slipped from a too long finger. She replaced it on his hand, not even sure why she bothered. It just felt right. Throne, she'd not even liked him. He was an insufferable and condescending ass. Still, he'd not deserved this. No one did. Octavia rested her hand over the bleeding puncture where his warp eye had been. A sniper, some kind of lightly armored Astartes youth. He'd stolen into the chamber and dropped Atrigius with a single shot. The navigator died in the middle of complaining about the turbulence. Octavia had been too shocked to move, too stunned to reach for her auto pistol. even when the Navigator's robed servitors deployed their claws and tore the Blood Angel youth limb from limb.
"He's dead,"
she told the demon thing on the bridge when its voice blared over the vox.
"They killed him,"
the demon thing, the exalted, had screamed. The ship shuddered as if in the grip of some huge, angry god. Septimus's voice came to her again, not over the vox this time. She looked up and saw him standing at the doorway.
"Octavia!" "They killed him,"
she said again, her teeth clenched. Throne, why was she crying? Why wouldn't the ship stop shaking just for a moment?
"Octavia!"
Septimus came to her, helping her to her feet. "The Covenant is being destroyed. We're all dead, unless...
unless I guide us into the warp."
"Yes," he wiped flecks of blood from her face, his augmented eye whirring as it focused. She heard it click once, very quietly.
"Did you just take my pict?"
"I may have," he said. His smile answered for him, slow and mournful. Octavia glanced at the blood-stained meditation couch and did not look back at him.
"You should go. This is never pleasant to watch."
He hesitated, reluctant to let her go even as the ship was being annihilated by Imperial guns. She pushed him away, not unkindly.
"You know,"
she said, walking to the couch,
"I'll see you after. Maybe.
Maybe." She finally looked back, seeing him standing by the door.
"I have no idea what I'm doing. I can find the Astronomicon, guide by the Emperor's light, but I have a feeling that would invite pursuit."
"It would. Just do your best."
"I could kill you all, if I wanted to,"
she grinned.
"You're heretics, you know."
"I know."
"You should go."
He didn't know what else to say, so he left without saying anything at all. The door to Atreides's, no, Octavius's chambers, sealed closed and locked tight.
"Navigator,"
came a growl from the vox speakers around the room.
"Here,"
she answered.
"I am the Exalted."
"I know who you are."
"Do you know the region of space, close to the galactic core, that houses a warp wound known as the Great Eye?"
Eurydice Mavallion, now called Octavia of the Covenant, took a deep breath.
"Link me to the helm," she said,
strength returning to her voice.
"I will commune with your pilots."
It wasn't so difficult, really. The ship hated her. Oh, how it loathed her presence. She felt its soul recoil from her probing meditation, like a viper protecting its young.
"I hate you,"
the Covenant hissed. Its presence thrashed in her mind, shrieking and hateful.
"I hate you,"
it warned again, far from the docile and sedate soul of Carton Sine's Maiden of the Stars.
"You are not my navigator,"
it spat.
"Yes,"
she spoke to the chamber, empty except for the corpse of her predecessor.
"I am."
Octavia closed her human eyes, opened the third, and dragged the Covenant of Blood into the space between worlds.
"You feel that?"
Zal asked, as the ship seemed to slip forward in a strangely smooth lurch that had no similarity to weapons fire. Talos nodded. He'd felt the translation into the warp as well.
"We made it,"
Sirion grunted.
"Most of us."
Malkarion was no longer moving at all. First claw clustered around the ruined warrior, and Zal's chain blade revved again.
"Should we?"
he asked Talos.
"Deltrian might be able to save him if he still lives within."
"No, let him sleep as he wished.
We already have an image of him that should stay with us down the ages.
The prophet's eyes didn't leave the triumphant engraving on the front of the sarcophagus for some time.
It was grand to see him fight, Uzes conceded. One last time.
The others snorted or stared to hear such a thing from him.
I swear I saw the fight at the Palace of Terror again, Sirion said. Not these war machines clubbing each other.
Talos didn't reply.
Deltrian, he voxed to the Hall of Remembrance.
Yes, 1-2-10. I am present, Talos.
Markarion the War Sage has fallen in battle.
Your voice indicates you grieve at this development. If condolences from others will ease your torment, I will offer them.
The sentiment is appreciated, but that is not all.
Your voice patterns now show a trace of amusement.
Send 2 teams of lifter servitors to the aft mortals' decks, to the area known as Black Market.
Processing. 1 team is enough to recover the holy relic of the entombed Markarion. I require reasoning for your request of 2 lifter teams.
Because, honored tech priest,
Talos turned his gaze to the wreckage of Raguel the Sufferer in his priceless war machine shell.
First Claw has a gift for you.
With the link cut, Talos narrowed his eyes at the corpse of 1 dead blood angel. The warrior's breastplate remained intact, despite grievous damage to his thigh, leg, and shoulder armor. An imperial eagle spread its wings proudly across the chest piece, forged from platinum, gleaming gold in the dim light. The prophet nodded weakly at the dead blood angel's beautiful armor.
That is mine, he said, and slid back down to the decking, too exhausted to move.